بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's live edition of Living the Legacy on Radio Islam. My name is Rehan Umar and it's a wonderful pleasure to be with you, joining you again this Tuesday as we continue our journey exploring how to live our legacy. Over the course of the series, we've looked at what are the things we can do differently, better at, or more of. What can we do to live a legacy, one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with, a legacy that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be proud of us as his ummatis of, a legacy that we can leave behind one day for our loved ones. In this program, we seek to look at avenues and pathways on how to live the legacy, knowing that each of us have different personalities, different strengths, and different tendencies. So what is it that we can do to live our legacy? What does that legacy translate into for you? It's a question we ask each week, and your chance to introspect, to dig deeper, to find out more about yourself, and discover how Islam makes us whole. Welcome. Today on the program, we continue with a series that we began last week. In our monthly series, we're exploring a topic that has everything to do with our legacy and everything to do with our personal growth. We're seeking to understand more about our self-worth and discovering what Quran and Sunnah teach us on this and how nourishing the heart spiritually is linked to your self-worth. Welcome. On the program today, inshallah, we're going to discover more from the Quranic and prophetic guidelines. But before we do that, a bit of introspection and some reflection on today's spiritual connection. When we talk about growth, and growth which leads to a legacy that we live, there are two main keys for that success. The one is seeking forgiveness, and the second is self-awareness. While there are many keys to success, these are two that we're focusing on today to understand more about developing and establishing our self-worth. One of the things that happens in the path where we seek to become emotionally healthy or be spiritually connected is we end up staying in the dark. And that dark often equals into pain. Allow me to explain. So much of the pain that we experience in life is due to a lack of deep self-awareness. And by this I mean that we're not truly reflecting and assessing our thoughts, actions, relationships, ibadah, to see how they may or may not be impacting the outcome of our lives. This lack of self-awareness can sometimes lead to continuing cycles of behavior that is not only counterproductive to the life that we want, but it also takes us further away from the source of all aid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in Surah Al-Kahf, a chapter we read every Friday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verses 103 and 104 of this surah, Surah 18, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we believers inform you of the greatest losers as to their deeds? They are those whose effort is lost in worldly life, while they think that they are doing well in work. And so this reference from Surah Al-Kahf is not only speaking about disbelievers, but about how believers can fall into this trap, into this category as well. You see, often we can think we're okay, I'm doing good, and causing no harm. But in reality, we We often delude ourselves into believing that what our nafs desires is what is best. And this causes us to act in ways that do not correspond with a purposeful life, with a meaningful lifestyle, with living a legacy. So let's talk redemption. Redemption in seeking forgiveness. Now there is an ayah, perhaps one of the most hope-inspiring verses from the Quran, which is an enormous comfort and a glad tiding for believers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and reminds us on the importance of seeking His repentance and remaining firm upon good. Surah 39, Surah Az-Zumar, verse 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful." And as long as we have life, alhamdulillah, there is the opportunity to repent and to correct ourselves. Once we know better, we strive to do better. And Allah, in His infinite mercy, loves and rewards us when we return to Him sincerely and stay steadfast upon good. May Allah make us of those who return to Him sincerely, often, and of those who also stay steadfast upon the good. Ameen. It is related that Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, tell me something about Islam which I can ask of no one except you." He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Say, I believe in Allah, and thereafter be upright." How simple an advice, the cornerstone of a believer's development. Number one, your belief, your declaration of belief in Allah. And upon that, to be upright. Hadith is recorded in Sahih Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us in reaching and maintaining this level. Ameen. Often we find ourselves in such darkness. It may be a darkness of despair, hopelessness, fear, anxiety, guilt, worry, inconsistency, insufficiency. And we wonder, what can I do to make things right? What can I do to change things? Will anything ever work? Will Allah ever forgive me? And it is this verse that gives tremendous comfort, glad tidings, and guidance. I'd love if you join me in bookmarking it in your Mus'haf, Surah 39, verse 53. And that is our reflection for this morning. As we all set out again today on this journey to do better, to be better, to live better, and to live this legacy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, let's remember that it's easy to fall into this category of thinking, I'm doing well or I'm doing enough. Let's work in a space of ambition, urgency, keenness, to strive for our akhirah without counting. And we can only do this, we can only realize that I have space and scope to do more, to be more, to serve Allah more, to serve Him better, if we have a keen sense of self-awareness. And the second is forgiveness. Once we've developed that self-awareness of who we are, what we do, what our strengths and non-strengths are. We can then explore what it means to seek forgiveness truly, fully, completely, without holding back. On the program today, we're discussing what it means to live your legacy, and we continue exploring the avenues on doing so for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome to Living the Legacy, where today we're exploring what it means to develop and to examine your concept of self-worth. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, in the course of this series, we've at some point talked about the self, we've talked about the fitrah, we've talked about the internal vision, the vision of the heart, right? But there's something very important in this journey beyond all of this, and that is our value, that I must know myself. Because when I know who I am, it brings a certain peace within my heart, and it gives me a clearer vision of who I am and what I need to do to achieve my purpose in this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So today, let's continue exploring what this journey is all about. And what is value? What is self-worth? In Arabic, we have a saying, قيمتي في قلبي, that my worth is my heart. That a person's value is based on the heart, and that this is the place which we all need to focus on and look at, and that the value of a person originates from the contents of their hearts. Now, previous to this, in part one of the series, we learned about the creation of the heart. We talked about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this flesh, our heart, for a reason, not only to keep us going and moving physically in this life, but actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our hearts to decide our value or worth. Our value lies in how we use our hearts in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He brought us out of the wombs of our mother in order to do something. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. And He gave you hearing, sight, and heart that you might give thanks. And so that is the basis on which the concept of self-worth is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make shukr, to have gratitude. And there are other reasons why Allah created the heart. We need to understand and fulfill the reason as to why Allah created this flesh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, honored and favored this creation, al-insan, over all other creations. And He has honored and favored us by giving us this heart. But what gives us this favor? Honored and favored to have this tendency to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made up of four. The first is the beauty, jamalihi. The second is kamalihi, the perfection when knowing Allah. The third is the pride, and we'll discuss this in detail. And the fourth is happiness. Now, because we have the tendency, the ability to recognize Allah, to know Allah, and when we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is our beauty, our happiness, our perfection, our pride. Without knowing Allah, We cannot understand the beauty. There is no meaning of perfection or meaning of happiness. So what makes the human being to be favored in this way? It is the heart. Insan is favored in knowing Allah, right? How will we be prepared to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will we have the capability to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we be qualified to know Allah? It is said by the scholars, بِقَلْبِهِ, by the heart. The qualification to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by the heart. It is only with the heart that we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it has a value. This is the place where we can know Allah, and this is why the heart is so very important. Now, what many of us wonder as we draw closer to Ramadan is, what happens when you and I, when someone knows Allah? When you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart, think about this. What reaction does this produce? Amongst them, the first is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond any doubt. Or when you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart, it makes you close to Allah, nearer to Allah, not with your physical limbs, but that you will get closer to Him by your heart. The third category of those who know Allah from their heart is that it is not the limbs, but that comes later, it is the heart. And so it is the one who is working for the sake of Allah. That heart even is working for the sake of Allah. And the fourth is the one who is struggling and striving towards Allah. The one who is hastening and running to the pleasure of Allah. This is what happens when you know Allah. You know Him beyond any doubt. You get nearer to Him with your heart. You work for His sake, and you struggle and strive towards Allah. Notice how when we, and may Allah make us of this category, that those who know Allah, that the ego is removed from this situation. It is not about them. It is about knowing Allah. So what makes us to know Allah? Our hearts. We are often mistaken when we think that it is only our limbs, our arms, our mouth, our ears that need to work for Allah. What about the heart, the most precious receptacle that you have? The heart, both intelligent and thinking. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He favors us and He honors us with this gift to know Him with our heart. Can you imagine what it is like to not know Allah? When we know Him, it is hope that we will try and come closer to Him. And when we get closer, it is hoped that we will struggle and strive towards Him. And this will make us have the honor of knowing Allah. This is qimati fi qalbi, the worth of the heart. There is an Arabic saying, al-qalb huwa al-malik, the heart, it is the king. So every action required from us is required from the heart. Even if you love studying and are inclined to want to learn, there must be an inclination from the heart. Even if you love cooking, or even if you are ambitious in your career, there must be some movement of the heart, some inclination of the heart that moves you towards that action. Yes? Now, the limbs are the servants and the means. The limbs are the servants and the means. So we've established that it is at the heart which is at the center of that value and worth of us as servants of Allah. Following that, the limbs. Now the limbs are only following the heart. So instead of focusing only on the limbs, remember they're just an object, they are servants too. Focus on the heart. When you want to be close to Allah and when you want to work for Allah. What else? The actions of the heart. So we have established that the heart is important, it is valuable, it is a gift from Allah. The actions of the heart, which we said were to struggle, to strive, to come closer to action. And then because the heart has an action, there is a result. Because it has actions, al-qalb huwa, the heart. So Allah honors us, but what makes us acceptable or rejected? It will be our hearts, and may Allah accept our hearts. Notice how many of the du'as that we recite regularly for purification, for cleansing, many of which stem from the heart. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. This is but one of them. Many of the du'as deal with the heart and the insight, with steadfastness of the heart. So, how will the heart be accepted? We are all hearing about Allah accepting hearts or rejecting them. The question is, how will the heart be accepted? If our heart is saved from everyone but Allah, then it will be accepted. If your heart is free from anyone except Allah, and when there is nobody in your heart except Allah. So the scholars say, you equal your heart. Let's talk more. The scholars say the heart is the place of love for Allah. And that it is the heart that magnifies and honors Allah. We make dua, we ask Allah, may He protect us from having hearts which are separated from Him. May He protect us from hearts that have barriers. May He protect us from hearts that are rejected by Him. Ameen. So what makes a heart or the barrier in the heart? What makes our hearts be rejected? If the heart is drowned in anyone other than Allah. Think of it like this. If you cannot imagine your life going on, if you cannot imagine living without a certain thing, place, or person, if you are so dependent on that to carry on living that if that were to be taken away from you, you would wish upon or pray for death, that is barrier. So if the heart is drowned in anything or anyone other than Allah, it will have a barrier and it will be rejected. On the day of judgment, in hellfire, people will be separated from Allah and they will not be able to see Allah because their hearts will have a barrier. They will be rejected because their hearts were drowning in others other than Allah. So how will the heart be acceptable? Dearest sisters, The heart will be acceptable only if it is occupied, if it is busy, if it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and free from others or other barriers. And it will be drowned if it is busy with anything or anyone else. At this point in time, reflect. Is there anyone or anything in your life that if Allah were to take it away from you, you would not be able to live? That you would wish your life came to an end? What would that be? Is there something like that in your life? And the reason we ask this is often people feel, does that mean I should have a cold or distant heart, that I shouldn't love others? There's a difference between love and an attachment which detaches us from Allah. So that love or attachment should not be such that it detaches or distances you and I from Allah. Now it comes to working on our hearts. And the legacy that we all seek to live means that we are regularly making this effort at working on ourselves. And working on our hearts is equally, if not the most important. It's very important to work on our hearts, as it is this one heart that we have which will be either accepted or rejected. Our hearts will be filled with joy and happiness when we come close to Allah, when we think of Allah, when we know Allah, when we seek to learn about Him. The qalb, the heart, is the place which feels happy when we come close to Allah. Think about it. When Ramadan enters and you settle into it, how does your heart feel? How does your heart feel? Happy? At peace? Yes. I hear from people who say, I've cut back on my work hours in Ramadan. My income has been halved, but yet I feel such sukoon and such happiness that I don't feel at any other time of the year. Why? What is the heart engaged in Ramadan that it is not at other times of the year? Increased ibadah overall, Quran, Salah, Tarawih, Tahajjud, Zakat, Sadaqah, good deeds, right? Because our hearts were designed for this. Our hearts were designed to prime us for our self-worth in the eyes of the Almighty. Allah created our hearts to only feel happy when we come close to Him. And there are many avenues to getting close to Allah. And so we need to constantly not just wait for the onset of Ramadan, but daily make it a part of our life journey to purify the heart in order for this to be a heart that is accepted. And yes, it is a big responsibility. Yes, it is this human heart to which the Quran was given that even mountains could not carry that trust. So we need to resolve and we need to commit to the process of purifying our hearts regularly. And that takes us back to the opening theme of reflection today, self-awareness. Being aware, what are the weaknesses? What are the impurities of my heart? Which chamber of my heart needs spring cleaning? Don't wait for a Ramadan. Which chamber can I start cleaning today and now? Does it need light cleaning? Something more intense? Scrubbing? What does it need? How can I remove distractions from my heart? How can I purify diseases from my heart? And I can only know this when I'm aware, self-aware. What are my sicknesses? What are my illnesses? How am I polluting my heart on a regular basis? Because that pollution of the heart is what causes sickness. Remember, the heart, and here's the connection between the heart and limbs. The heart is the place of muti', of obedience, and of reality. If the heart is obedient, you will be obedient, and vice versa. So it's important to work on purifying the heart. The place of obedience is in the heart, but what we see on the outside are the actions spread out by our limbs and our body, the akhlaq, the manners, the ibadah, the worship. These are the consequences of the obedience of the heart. But it all begins with the internal worth of the heart. And you will see an obedient person through his or her actions. And the heart will show the beauty on the appearance outside. Mark my words. Subhanallah, the heart is the main characteristic in our bodies. It is three things. To summarize, it is the place of acceptance or rejection by Allah. It is the place of obedience or disobedience to Allah. It is the place of beauty or ugliness, which is reflected outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to focus on our value, on our hearts first. Ameen. Now here's something to reflect upon for this week. Insan, you and I, human beings, are favored over other creation because we have a heart, and the heart has the quality to know Allah. When we know Allah, we become closer to Him. We strive and struggle towards Him. Our heart then becomes filled with Him. And it is only then that the heart attains true happiness and beauty. The heart's inner beauty or inner ugliness will radiate on the outside. True happiness lies in the heart knowing Allah. So what step do you resolve to take today to know your Creator? Remember, it is important to purify the heart because the heart is a special container and a receptacle that can only contain the love of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us to hearts being maqbool, being accepted by Him, which is what we were created for. Ameen. Now what I'd like to share with you today is from an interesting reading entitled The Intelligent Heart, The Pure Heart, an insight into the heart based on the Quran, Sunnah and modern science by Dr. Gohar Mushtaq. And in this book, he writes more about the heart being a thinking, intelligent organ. He talks about the heart and in doing so, looks at a very famous verse of the Quran. The example, as mentioned in Surah An-Nur, verse 35. He says that, and I quote, "The human heart is like a mirror. The example of the heart is like a glass, zujaja, which contains a lamp, misbah, which is present inside a niche, as described in Surah An-Nur. Our chest or rib cage looks similar to a niche. Our heart is like a glass, inside which the lamp of the soul is glowing." He further writes, "If the heart is not kept clean, and the lamp of the soul is dimmed, much like a light bulb that is covered with dust. However, if the heart is kept polished, then the soul will light up the whole human being. This light or nur was most apparent in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the following advice for polishing the heart. There is a polish for everything that takes away rust, and the polish for the heart is the remembrance of Allah. Al-Bukhari. During our everyday life, the brain is in a physically higher position than our heart. And that sometimes results in the arrogance of the brain. However, when we prostrate to Allah as in Salah, our heart attains a higher position in our body than our brain. And that is the state of a human being in which he or she is closest to Allah. This is emphasized both in the Quran and in the Hadith. In Surah Al-Alaq, verse 19, fall in prostration and draw near to Allah, and in Sahih Muslim, the closest a slave ever is to his Lord is when he is in prostration, so make much supplication. Islam places an even greater emphasis on congregational worship, and the reason for this becomes apparent in the light of scientific evidence. Listen to this. Heart cells are similar to other cells in the rest of the human body in terms of chemical composition. However, there is one thing that heart cells do differently from other body cells that makes them unique. They are the only cells in the body to pulsate or beat rhythmically. In the laboratory, if a single heart cell is placed on a slide and observed under a microscope, it continues to beat for a short while, then loses its rhythm and dies. Similarly, if two heart cells are placed on a slide at a distance, they also die after a short time of beating without rhythm. However, if two heart cells are placed close together on a slide, they start beating in synchrony with the same rhythm and they do not die. The same phenomenon occurs on a larger scale in the case of a complete heart. All the heart cells beat in synchrony, which makes the heart such a powerful organ. When the Prophet ﷺ's companions were sitting in his presence, they used to remember Allah much more than when they were alone. Yes? Since the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was always engaged in the remembrance of Allah, his heart would pull the hearts of his companions in entrainment. SubhanAllah. And when Muslims are praying behind one imam and they straighten their saf, as a result, their hearts become synchronized. Their hearts beat in unity and thus are strengthened. This is from the wisdom behind a hadith narrated by Nu'man bin Bashir from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to which he used to tell his companions before the salah, straighten your rows three times, otherwise Allah will make your hearts turn against each other. Abu Dawood. I've been sharing with you brief excerpts from the book The Intelligent Heart, The Pure Heart, written by Dr. Gohar Mushtaq and published by Taha Publishers. It's a remarkable insight into the human heart based on Quran, Sunnah, and modern science. And it leaves us in awe of the creation of Allah, in awe of the heart that He's blessed us with. As we prepare to come to the close of today's program, I'll leave you with a few points of reflection. The first is, what's your game plan to learning more and knowing more about your Creator? My second is a question to you, and that is, with the countdown to Ramadan being less than 100 days now, how does that make you feel? And what action does it spur you on to do? And the third is, as the year has settled in, and those of us with children or work and school routines have settled back into it, let's keep in mind the concept of time. This life is not guaranteed, and we to see the next moment, hour or day. So what is your legacy, and what are you doing to live that legacy today and now? That brings us to the close of this week's live edition of Living the Legacy, a program where we explore the pathways and avenues on how you and I can do our very best to live our legacy for the pleasure of Allah and leave it behind one day. We've been discussing self-worth and connecting it to the most precious receptacle within, your heart. Join us next week as we continue exploring more about our self-worth, the heart, and Islam. Until we meet again, it's a pleasure joining you on Tuesdays, and I'll speak to you again next Tuesday at the same time. This program will be up on podcast later today. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.